from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN. 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Bill Belichick in 30 minutes. We'll have that for you. Six-pack picks. By the way, guess who killed it again in six-pack picks? You know what? We should have said to Coach Belichick. I should have said, Coach Belichick, I'm mopping the floor with Floyd right now on six-pack picks. Your thoughts, Coach Belichick? I'm not sure he would have been very receptive to that. But it is time for three up, three down. Three things the GM wants to see on Sunday in the Titans game against the Patriots, and three things the GM does not want to see. But first, you know what I want to see on Sunday?
What's that?
I want to see everybody at Nashville Underground for the pregame show, 9:30. Chris Sanders, Jared and the GM. We will be there breaking down Titans, Patriots, and as we said before the Eagles game, we need a lot of Titans fans there at Nashville Underground to kind of balance out the Patriot fans who are going to be coming through there, so we expect to see everybody out there for that. Okay, three up, three down. Three things Floyd wants to see. We start with number one.
Number one.
First thing for me is, and we talked about this numerous times, but the scoring defense has been outstanding. This week, holding this team to field goals is paramount. I mean, we know how important it is from a numerical standpoint. You save the 4 points and all of that, but just from a morale, from a maybe having a chance to frustrate a Tom Brady or a Bill Belichick or somebody is going to be really, really important. And if they can continue forcing them to kick field goals, I mean, it will be as big as anything we can do.
I mean, I almost feel like one of the keys to this game is that you can't get out 21-0 on the Patriots and blow them out, because if you get up 21-0, what's going to happen is then they're going to come back in the blink of an eye, and then they're going to beat you 48-28, and then that's just what they're going to do. I think it's more like it's got to be a 3-point Patriot lead or a 7-point Patriot or a 4-point Patriot lead late. You hold them to a field goal with 6 minutes left, and then you score a touchdown. And remember how upset I was in the Charger game about going for two?
Mm-hmm.
This time you get in a situation like that, you go for two. Now, I worry that, you know, you're not going to outcoach their coach on a two-point conversion, but you go for two. You don't want to go to overtime with this team. That I'm okay with. So it's got to be close, because you got to hold them to field goals, and then you got to have one drive at the end that all of a sudden with 11 seconds to go, you take a lead, and it's like, Tennessee might do this.
Yeah, is it possible?
What's the second thing you're looking for or you want to see?
Number two.
Second thing for me is what we were so good at last week, third down efficiency. If you can, you know, in normal games, you're going to get the ball 10, 11, 12, 13 times, 13 drives. And if you can convert 11 of 14, then you're keeping each one of those drives alive. And if you can do that, you're going to be down in scoring position and have a chance to score the touchdown. Figure out a way to, again, get the seven when you're giving them three. That's a great deal against this team. You'll take it all year long. But it's going to be very, very important. The other side of it, and maybe the most important thing, is the whole time you're converting that 11 or 14 third downs, Tom Brady is sitting very unhappily on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly where we want him.
I almost feel, though, like, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but doesn't it kind of feel like if they're going to convert these third downs, it's got to be different? Like, it's not going to be throwing a deep ball every time, or it's not going to be, you know, constantly running. Or, like, remember when they threw it to Tajay Sharp 5 times for third downs in the Chargers game? Like, they're not going to be able to hit Tajay Sharp 5 times for first downs in this game, because Bill will not let that happen. So it's almost like everything in order to be efficient on third down has to kind of change. Like, it has to be a Mariota run, then it has to be a Deion play, then it has to be a Batson play. Then it, like that, I mean, maybe I don't know. That's just how I feel about this team.
And I think you're right. I mean, I think everybody's going to have to take a turn, because if you, and you've heard me say this before, they're the absolute best in all of football at adjusting even between drives. I mean, they can change their game plan. They can change the focus of what it is they're doing. And 99% of the teams in the league cannot keep up. And so you have to go in there with the attitude that, you know, okay, this one's going to be a quarterback sneak. This one's going to be an out to Davis. This one's going to be a run by Henry, whatever the case may be. But you can't do anything more than once or twice and have a chance of getting away with it.
Okay, the third thing you want to see on Sunday.
Number three.
The thing we were also great at last week, time of possession. And time of possession from the standpoint that it's giving you a chance to score points. And we know points for us will be at a premium like they are for everybody playing New England. But this time of possession does just what we talked about with third down conversions, which is it keeps an unhappy Tom Brady on the sideline right where we want him.
So I looked at the box scores of the losses the Patriots have had. And in the Lions game on Sunday Night Football, now that was a beat down. But you remember, like, Josh Gordon wasn't there yet, and they hadn't really gotten. Detroit held the ball for 36 minutes.
There you go.
Like, how did the Titans hold the ball for 36 minutes against how?
I mean, we've had it 35 minutes the last 2 weeks, which is really incredible.
I know, but this ain't Bill Belichick.
I know. And I think we're going to have to go in there and try to do that same thing. Now, it's going to be harder than it has been, but, I mean, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It doesn't mean you're not going to try to do it. So that will be really, really important to us.
Three down, three things the GM does not want to see. You know what I don't want to see? I don't want to see a lot of Titans fans not at Nashville Underground for the pregame show, 9:30. That's what I don't want to see. But what's the number one thing you don't want to see?
Number one.
What do you think it is?
Turnovers.
Turnovers. You cannot. I mean, the quickest way to lose any game, and especially this game. I mean, they thrive on turnovers. They're outstanding getting them. They're, you know, great at working to the ball. They understand. They run drills where they, you know, get the ball out, find ways to get the ball out. They're tremendous. Their DBs are really, really good at playing the ball in the air, getting the hand, you know, on the receiver's hand or on the ball and finding a way to get it out. So we have to eliminate. I mean, I'm talking about not one turnover can we afford in this game. Not one.
So I would say not only are turnovers not okay, but plays that aren't technically turnovers that are turnovers, those are also not okay. Like, I keep going back to the Trawick penalty in the playoff game. And I know a lot of people forget this, but it is 14-7 Patriots with 6 minutes to go in the first half. And the Titans are going to, I think New England's punting from their own 14. So basically, Allen, that's the punters there, right? Allen, the left-footed punter.
I believe so, yeah.
Allen is in the end zone, punting. Adoree is at midfield. You may have the ball at the 38-yard line to be able to tie the game going into halftime with the Patriots. You tie the game going into halftime with the Patriots, it's a totally different game.
Mm-hmm.
Trawick jumps into the neutral zone or is in the neutral zone getting the guy to jump. Guy flinches. They originally call a false start, then change it to an offside, and the Patriots get a first down. Brady scores a touchdown. Now it's 21-7. That is a turnover. Even though it's not a turnover, it is a turnover. If you stop them on a third down, but you're lined up in the neutral zone, or too many men on the field because Brady quick snaps it, or that is a turnover in this game because you're only going to get them off the field so many times.
Right.
What's the second thing that you don't want to see?
Number two.
Second thing for me is we cannot give them any big plays. No cheap touchdowns. They're going to get their points. We have to make sure that they have to work, drive, pound, take time, very blue-collar type to score any points. We can't, again, not, you know, you can't break a coverage. You can't be undisciplined and not look at the receiver. You can't miss tackles. All the things you can imagine as a problem, we have to eliminate every one of them.
And it just, for me too, on those things, is they just pile up points so fast if you start doing the thing. It's almost like a slot machine, like the jackpot when you walk into a casino and it just keeps going. That's if you it. Let them get rolling, that's exactly what they do. And the third and final thing that the GM does not want to see on Sunday against the New England Patriots.
Number three.
You know, this team is hard on you a lot of ways. I mean, they're really, really well coached. They're good players. They're all those things. If you're not careful, they will break your discipline. They will cause you to lose your poise. they will cause you to, you know, get out of whack, do things that aren't common or normal, trying to catch up, trying to stay with them. So I think for me, it's maintain that discipline, maintain the poise, because they're going to quick snap you. Mm-hmm. They're going to catch you. If you're slow at substitution, they're quick snapping you. They're going to get you. So we've got to eliminate all of that.
I kind of feel like this game, if you're a football player on the Titans or a coach or maybe even a fan, this is going to be like one of the most mentally exhausting games that you will play if you're going to win.
And going back, we were talking earlier about some of the old games that we play. I mean, you would go into those games and you would play so hard for so long and so disciplined and doing all the things. And then all of a sudden, one little mistake, you know, one turnover, one interception to Ty Law, or one dropped pass, you know, by somebody. It's all over.
That's, you know, how who close dropped that pass.
Yeah, we don't mention names.
I know you don't. You know what's funny? In both those games, and so last year before the playoff game, I went back and watched them, like the 2003. Like, I don't know. I do things like this. Like before the Kansas City game, I watched the wild card game on the road with the Ravens and the win in that one. And the reason I went back and watched it, I was just watching it, you know, Belichick and Steve McNair. Both games, they got a matchup on Lance Schulters, who's a very good safety for the Titans. Mm-hmm. But they got a matchup with a wide receiver on Lance Schulters, and each time it was a deep touchdown.
Yeah.
And those were two games where touchdowns were hard to come by, and each time it was like Belichick was just waiting for the one opportunity. Well, I think the first game it was Troy Brown for a touchdown. The second was Bethel Johnson, a first-round bust who could run like Taywan Taylor, and it was like almost like Belichick says, okay, Tom, if you get Lance Schulters matched up on their version of Taywan Taylor, throw it.
And that's what they do. They do such a great job of that with adjusting the formations, with motions, with shifts. And as soon as Tom gets the matchup he wants, if he sees it, I mean, it's scary. It's probably a touch.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Again, pregame show 9:30. We'll have Belichick 5:30, six-pack picks. But coming up next, just like Mike Vrabel, Floyd has been on both sides of this room. He has been on both sides. What would Floyd's message to the Titans, if he was the coach, what would his message be to them next? It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Titans Patriots on Sunday. Okay, so Mike Vrabel, and he's going to downplay it the whole time about his Patriots relationship, because you know how he is. He's, you know, what's that? How's that going to help me today, kind of thing. But you have a very similar relationship. He was there for 8 years. You were there for what, five? Something like that?
Yeah, four or five.
Something like that. So you guys know the Patriots. What do you think Vrabel's message to the team is going to be? And instead of what you think his message is going to be, if you had those guys looking at you, because let's not kid ourselves, they know the New England Patriots. They watch TV. They know football. And they just got their hats handed to them, you know, what, 10 months ago by this Patriots team? So even though Deion Lewis is in the room now and Malcolm Butler is in the room and things like that, what would your message to the team be Saturday night at the hotel, or even Wednesday when they come in to start the week? You've got this team in front of you. You know they're playing the mighty Patriots. You're a Patriot. Vrabel's a Patriot. What would your message to the team be?
You know, I think I would try to make them understand what it is that makes them tick, because it's different. It's different than all other teams. You know, you can go into a lot of games and you can say, okay, if we're more physical than this team, we're going to win. Or if we can run the ball forever, or if we can do this, that, or the other. And all of that may very well be true, but to beat New England is a different experience, and it involves so many different elements. It takes so much total and complete focus during that game in preparation, and then during that game, I'm talking about till the last snap, for you to have a chance to win, because that's what they do. They do that on a daily basis. And Bill used to get in front of the teams, and he would tell them, hey, not everybody in this room can handle this program. I understand that. And if you don't think you can handle it, come to me and we'll make an adjustment. But if you're going to be here and you're going to be a part of the program, then there are certain things that you're going to do. And they are more demanding than most places. Now, I'm not talking about Tennessee because I don't know what Mike is doing with them inside the walls, but I would assume it's fairly simple. I mean, similar. They go to the nth degree. Every situation is covered over and over. They are able to adjust their program on the run. And he starts preaching this from day one. He goes in and he says, you know what, this system where you think you can line up and throw the ball every snap or run the ball every snap or you can do, that's old football. That's not the way we do it now. We have to be able to adjust to not only every team at the beginning of the game, but we have to adjust to them at halftime, you know, in between quarters, whatever it may be. And if you as a player can't keep up with all of those changes and different responsibilities, et cetera, you can't survive here. Consequently, all those guys are just on their toes all the time because they know what it means. And that's why Bill loves a guy like Mike Vrabel so much. Vrabel understood that. Vrabel was one of those guys that may not have been the best athlete at a linebacker position, but was a great football player. And that's why he could play defense, why he could play special teams, why he could play offense. He could do all those things because he was a really, really good football player in a lot of areas. And I think I would try to make them understand the approach they take to every one of these games to help them hopefully focus and be able to bear down and be disciplined and all of, you know, we've talked for weeks about eye discipline on receivers and stuff. You know what? One time, game's over. You mess up one time, you sneak a peek, game's over. You lose. That's the way it works with them. There is no, you cannot make those mistakes. You cannot have penalties. You cannot turn the ball over. You just can't do those things against a team like this because of the way that they prepare and the way that's in their DNA. That's the way they are weekly.
How important is it to have Deion Lewis and Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan and like how, because you know Logan Ryan knows that.
Yeah.
And Malcolm, probably the most undisciplined player on the team, Malcolm knows if he gets caught peeking in the backfield, that is a touchdown with Tom Brady because you know Tom's looking for that.
And it may be, and I'm certainly not telling Mike what to do, but it may be smart for him to get some of those guys up and have them back. You know, a guy like Logan Ryan would be perfect. I mean, Logan can get up there and tell him now, hey, this is the way they're doing it. You know, this is what they've been through preparing for us. When that ball's kicked off, this is how they're going to play the entire game and maybe help prove your point to the other players. And if you can do that, you've heard me say before, I mean, if it comes from a player, it's a whole lot more important than if it comes from a coach.
Okay, but I also wonder what it would be like if it's Malcolm Butler in front of the team. Now, guys, you have to be disciplined on every play. Like, are they really going to look at him and be like, Malcolm?
That's why you're here, Malcolm.
Malcolm.
But, yeah. No, I mean, you would probably have to pick the right guys. I would agree with that.
So Logan and Deion? not Malcolm.
Dean Pease,
exactly. Yeah. I think this team, like the Titans need something that will make them believe. And I don't know exactly what it would be. You know, you would think that the Corey Davis touchdown to start the game was kind of that thing in the playoff game, but it didn't really manifest itself that way. I wonder, like, in this game, like, what could the Titans do that could make them believe early in the football game?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, as the longer it's 0-0-7-7, you know, 7-3-10-7, close, the longer the game goes like that, the better it will be for us. Because I think as it goes along, if, in fact, they're doing what we want them to do, they're going to realize that, hey, this may be the way. You know, this may be working. And in my mind, if they can certainly get to a point in time late in the game, and like you said before, be within a touchdown, be within a field goal, you know, realizing that, you know, Marcus is the best fourth quarter quarterback in the league and that he is going to be able to lead us down and get us in position to kick the field goal or whatever it is we need to do. And I think, you know, the longer that goes, then I think the more energy we get, mm-hmm. you know, the better we're going to get. They can see this success, even though they'll look up at the scoreboard, maybe tied. But they know that, you know, most teams are behind by about 14 points now.
Coming up next on Fireball Hot Take Friday, head coach Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. We'll get his thoughts on the game. We'll get his thoughts on really everything. We'll get that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back to Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Earlier today, Jared and the GM on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, we're able to catch up with Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. And we started off by asking him what it was like back in the old days of the old Titans with Steve McNair and Eddie George versus his Patriots.
Oh, man, they were tough. They were tough. We cheered when we got a first down. That defensive front that we played against in that, like, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, those days were tough. And then, you know, McNair and it was a well-balanced team, but it was a team that you really felt going into the game. If you get 14 or 17 points, you felt pretty good. You know, not that you had a chance because they could score too, but you know, you felt like that was good against that defense.
Bill, we see the passing and the scoring in the league just skyrocketing. It seems like week after week, there's some kind of a new record set. Is this, in your mind, is this the permanent direction of the league? Is it maybe a, you know, happenstance or just one of those up cycles?
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. Yeah, I hope we can play better defense and you know, be able to play competitively and not give up a lot of points. So you know, we'll see how it goes here. You know, the season's about half over. It looks like maybe things are not quite going at the same level they were earlier in the year, but maybe not. We'll see. But yeah, I hope not. I'd like to think that you know, that defensively we can compete against the offenses in this league.
We're watching. We've got Derrick Henry, of course, here, and he's kind of a question mark in this offense right now. And I'm not sure if it's adjusting to the offense, the coach is adjusting to him. I'm not sure exactly where that's going. But in your mind, is there a decline maybe in that 30 to 35 carry, you know, Eddie George, Derrick Henry, big, strong kind of back?
Well, I mean, I think that's a great question, Floyd. I think it really probably depends on who it is. Certainly doesn't look like it with Ezekiel Elliott. You know, there or Gurley or guys like that. So, you know, probably the right guy in the right system or the right guy with the right kind of, I don't know, you know, whatever it is. But I think that, you know, if any of us had Jim Brown, we'd give him the ball 30 times, maybe more, and be happy with it. But, you know, trying to, you know, have that type of player and you know, have the other things that go with it, the balance that you need with it. I mean, you just can't, you know, hand it a good back up the middle all day. I mean, you got to have more than that. But sometimes it's hard to, if you want to spread the ball around, which there's a lot to be said for that and having balance, then it, you know, means that you're featuring a guy less. And that's, to me, I don't really worry about featuring players. You know, the idea is to be productive and win, and everybody contribute. Sometimes some guys have a little more production than others. Sometimes that changes from week to week or year to year. But I think that in the Titans case, they have two really good backs. They're different. But we all saw what Henry did last year, and we've all seen what Deion's done this year. And so they're fortunate. They have two very good players at that position. There's a lot of teams that don't have any.
I read something today, I think, that said this is maybe the first time you've ever coached against a former player, somebody that, you know, you kind of raised through the program, through the system, know, you know, all aspects of how he played, you know, his personality, what kind of guy he is. When you look at this team, is there anything that surprises you as to what they can or can't do?
Well, I think with Mike, like any head coach, even if you get the program kind of where you want it the first year, in years two, three, and four going forward, it probably is going to be a little more like what you want it to be. But I think the team's very much in Mike's, fits his personality and playing style. They lead the league in defense. They don't give up many big plays. They're sound. They play very good technique. They tackle well. They're one of the top teams in the league in yards after catch. They're the least penalized team in the league, which reflects their discipline and attention to detail. You know, they're very good in the kicking game. They've got an explosive return game. They've got great specialists that can punt, kick, return. So they're strong in the kicking game. And, you know, that's kind of where Mike started at Pittsburgh. And he played on all those teams for us, even as a starting linebacker. He was on all the big four units throughout the course of his career. So, and then offensively, I think this is an offense that's kind of, has elements of the Rams, Atlanta, with the running game, the misdirection game, the plays that Mariota can make, and the explosiveness that they've got in the receiver position that, seems to be getting maybe a little better and more efficient every week. And certainly the performance they had against the Cowboys after a bye week, which is another, I think, trademark of Mike as a coach, is having that extra time to prepare, that extra week to, sort some things out and get a few things adjusted during the season that sometimes it's hard to do week to week because you're in such a, the treadmill is moving so fastly as you go from one team to another, to have a little bit of time to, retool your third down offense or your pass rush or your screens and plays like that. That was evident in how well they were executed and how well they played against the Cowboys. So, I think there's a lot of things that when you look at the Titans, you see correlation to the way Mike played or his style of play, let's call it, when he was here. Now, of course, Mike was a very productive offensive player for us, too. He caught 10 touchdown passes as a tight end. That used to really annoy our tight end, who would put him in there as a linebacker, and he'd catch a touchdown pass. And those guys would be, running around all year playing tight end, and, he'd have as many touchdowns as they did. So,
Coach Bill Belichick with
us. On the 1 yard line. And, of course, he reminded him of that, too, that, they had more touchdowns than some of the receivers did and some of the other tight ends did. So Mike was really a three-way player for us and a productive one, not just, standing there taking up space, but he was, a very productive player on the punt team, on the kickoff return team, as a short yardage and goal line tight end, and obviously defensively.
Coach Belichick with us. Coach, if a Nashville high school football player that listens to our show or a high school football coach were to ask you, Coach Belichick, for the number one thing of advice, what would you tell a high school football player or a high school football coach?
As it relates to what?
If a Nashville area kid were to come up to you and say, Coach Belichick, what's some advice that I can take going forward as a high school football player?
I think every player, to me, has the same job, really, is to, number one, be in condition. Number two, know what their assignment is. And number three, know how to execute their assignment. So the technique that's being taught to do the play. So that's really what we try to do with every player and how we try to evaluate each player. You have to be in condition. You have to know what to do, but you also have to know how to do it. And until any one of those three things, all three of those things are in place, then you really don't have anything. If you only have two of them right, then until you get the third one right, you really aren't going to have much. So once those three things are in place, then you can start moving forward in the evaluation process, or the player can start to contribute to his team. So that's where it starts for me.
Bill, one last question for you. We were both kind of born and raised in special teams, and I know you still love special teams. I always did. Is there any part of the game or the rules or maybe the attitude that people have about special teams that concern you about maybe the future, what that could look like at some point in time?
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as Floyd, going back to when we coached together at the Lions and And when you were here, when you watched the special teams tape, there were a lot of competitive plays. Now, if there are 30 plays in the kicking game, you know, there could be 8 or 9 of the 10 kickoffs or touchbacks, so there's not much going on there. And 8 or 9 of the extra point plays or field goals are not really competitive. It's so hard for the defense to block because they, you know, they can't overload, they can't jump, they can't hit the center, they can't, you know, they can't really do much of anything other than hope the kicker hits a low kick. And these kickers are getting better and better, and they're kicking off great surfaces and so forth. But, you know, I remember when we were at Detroit, I mean, we'd block, you know, 6-7 kicks a year. Mm-hmm. Minnesota blocked 10 kicks a year. You blocked them when you were up at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were holding your breath on every extra point just to see whether you could, you know, get it over the line or not. So, you know, now some of those plays look like the Pro Bowl. And so I'd like to see those plays be a little more competitive. And then you watch the punt returns, and those plays are fairly competitive. I'd say not as good as it used to be because the punters are so good at punting the ball, and Kern would be one of the best. You know, he kicked the ball 55, 60 yards, and he lands a yard out of bounds, so he kills the return with, you know, his great placement as well as the distance that he gets on those kicks. So, it's getting harder and harder for those plays to impact the game. It's been interesting that I think the kickoff rule has maybe benefited the return team a little bit just because the backside can't squeeze down quite as well as they used to with the running start. And it's like seems like the field's a little more coverage-wise. It's a little more spread out. There's a little more space across the field without that backside squeeze. It's not quite as hard as it was. It's still present. So, yeah, I'd love to see those plays, find a way to make those plays competitive, and, you know, where it's really the extra points are, I'd say at least it's better now than to me what it was, at least, you know, before when it was over 99% on the extra points. I mean, it's about as automatic as you could get. Now that number is dropping a little bit, and I think that's a good thing. And, you know, there have been some good kickoff returns in the league this year and some good field position on those plays. So maybe that'll become a little bit more of a competitive play going forward. I hope so.
Coach Bill Belichick, Coach, we look forward to the game. We appreciate you taking time. We know how busy you are, and we appreciate you joining us here on the show today, Coach.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always great to talk to you, Floyd. And you know, Floyd had such a big influence in my career. I learned a ton from Floyd in Detroit about defense, special teams, and he was a big asset to us here with the Patriots. So I appreciate everything that Floyd's done for me and through the years. Since my second year in the National Football League, we've been friends, and he's been a great friend and certainly had a big impact on my coaching career. So thanks, Floyd.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. When you get down here, give us a call.
All right. Well, we'll be down there Sunday.
Yes, you will.
We'll see you, Coach.
Talk to you.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back. Jared of the GM, six-pack picks this weekend. Of course, big games. By the way, great interview we have with Belichick. If you missed it, if you caught just the back end, be sure to check out the podcast. Okay, Floyd Reese. So you are airing a protest of six-pack picks.
I'm going to give you a chance to confess first.
I'm not confessing
to
anything.
Just to see if, you know, what type of person you are, what I'm dealing with here. Are you going to confess?
Confess to what?
Okay, I guess I'll have to spill my guts.
So Floyd wants to lodge a formal protest because he's getting his rear end kicked.
I just think it ought to be fair. I'm just trying to find fairness. That's all I want.
Tell the people what you're upset about.
I mean, I go into, we finish our production meeting, and Ryan is sitting across from me, and the chunky guy comes up and starts picking the games. And Ryan says, "You want this one? No. Let's do the other one." No. And I'm saying, well, who picks these games? I thought Ryan picked them. No, Jared picks them.
So Ryan does
so
pick them.
So Jared picks the games and then analyzes them and gives them to me 5 minutes before we do the segment, and you win. So, I mean, how can you be proud of that?
You get them a whole day in advance.
I never get them a day in advance.
Ryan just knows that I have the pulse on the community, and so he asked me, okay, do you think this is a game that our fans would be interested in listening to the same fans that are why we are 248% above last year.
Cheating. Any place in the world, that's cheating.
So Floyd has launched a formal protest.
Absolutely.
Ian, really tell the people why Floyd has launched a formal protest. What are our records so far?
Sounds like a legitimate protest, if you ask me.
In his contract, I always agree with you.
The records from last week, Floyd, you are 2-5.
Ugh.
Jared, you were 5-2.
Yeah, I was, baby. I'm on a heater.
Season records, Floyd, 25-36-1. And Jared is now 34-27-1 on the season.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
I mean, nobody in their right mind
what
can imagine that is truthful, honest numbers.
That I am spanking your rear end.
Yeah,
in six
I mean, nobody
picks.
Can believe that.
Spanking.
Nobody.
No
I mean,
one.
You would say it and nobody would believe it. So, all right.
On to the picks, Ian.
All right, we will start in college. Clemson headed up to Boston College, and Clemson is minus 20. Who goes first, Jared?
I'll let Floyd go.
You know what? I think I'm going to go with Boston College. And I'll tell you why. 20 points is a lot of points when it's really, really cold. And it's going to be really, really cold in Boston. So I think the Clemson, I think the boys from the South have a little bit of struggle in the weather.
I'm torn on this game. I'm going to take Clemson just because I saw them hang 77 last week. And I know who they hung 77 again, so it's more like really hanging 50. But that's still 50.
Louisville?
We don't even have a football team anymore.
77?
We're a women's basketball school. I'll take Clemson. They are just too good for Mike Vrabel's kid in Boston College.
Moving on, Alabama is hosting Mississippi State this weekend.
Bama, I don't care what the spread is. Bama.
Minus 24.
Bama.
Oh, Bama.
Bama.
Bama just won by 29 at LSU. Why do I think they're going to win by less at home against Mississippi State? It's not even close. Alabama.
They score so many points. And Mississippi State's got a good defense, but I don't think it matters. I mean, they are so good.
All right. And the Vols this weekend hosting Kentucky Wildcats, and Kentucky is minus 5, Floyd.
You know, I'm going to have to go with Kentucky, even though I know they haven't won there in about 50 years. But I just think they're going to run the ball too well. I'm not sure Tennessee can play defense against that run. And they're throwing the ball a little bit better than they have. But Kentucky is on their way to the best season, you know, one of the top three seasons maybe in their history. And I think that'll be enough incentive to help them win by at least 6.
This is such a hard game for me to pick for so many reasons. The first being that, I mean, Stoops has done obviously a fantastic job getting Kentucky to be in the position they're in. But, like, let's not kid ourselves with the problems that Stoops has had in these games when we've watched them. And I worry about the letdown after the Georgia game affecting Kentucky. I also think Kentucky's quarterback stinks. And the game is in Knoxville. But it's like, you know, the calendar's turned to November. The Vols players can see the light at the end of the tunnel on the season. 5 points. I'm going to take the Vols. I'll take the Vols. Maybe the Vols will put up a fight in this game. I'm going to go with Tennessee. But, man, I do not think much of Kentucky. I think Kentucky's head's going to be up their rear ends after they lost that Georgia game.
All right, heading over to the NFL. We will start in the NFC East as the Eagles host the Cowboys, and the Eagles are minus 7, Jared.
I'm going to take Philadelphia in this game. I mean, Philadelphia is a good team who hasn't played great this season, and they know, like, okay, we need to kick it into another gear. We are the defending Super Bowl champions, and I think you will see them come out of their bye after the London trip kind of with this sense of urgency that they didn't have in the first half of the season. And plus, Dallas, short week, and Dallas sucks. I mean, we saw on Monday night what Dallas's problems are. They got a lot of them. I'm going to take Philadelphia. I think this is going to be a rout, and I'd be shocked if Jason Garrett's the coach.
I think I will take the Eagles, too. I think the Cowboys are on a short week. They're traveling. Weather's going to be a factor, things that they don't normally handle very well. The Eagles are kind of in a similar situation to where we are in that you know, they've got a chance to make a bid, make a move. And I think they realize that, and they are a better team than their record shows. So they need to, for them to have a chance to get, you know, back to the playoffs, they're going to have to start winning right now.
A big battle in the AFC South. The Jaguars going to Indianapolis, taking on the Colts, and the Colts are -2.5, Floyd.
You know, I'm going to take the Colts. Colts at home. The Jaguars, especially on offense, are just a mess. I mean, a mess. The offensive line is decimated with injuries. The receivers are down. The quarterback is, we know who it is, and Fournette has not played, although I think he is going to play this week. The Colts are much better than we're giving the credit for. They're running the ball very well. Their defense is playing much better than I ever anticipated. And, of course, Luck is the quarterback. So I'm going to have to go with the Colts.
I feel like I'm on the Sunday Night Football pregame show. Tony Dungy automatically picks the Colts, and Rodney Harrison looks at me like, I don't know, coach. And that's how I feel about this. I don't know, Floyd. I think Jacksonville's season is on the brink. They're coming off of a bye. Indianapolis is simply not that good. I just can't get excited. I mean, their last game, they beat the Raiders, and it was a game late in the fourth quarter, and we know how bad the Raiders are. So I just don't buy the Indianapolis hype. I think Jacksonville's defense, for at least a game, gets their act back together. I'll take the Jags.
And that brings us to the big game. New England coming to town. CBS, noon, and the Pats are -6.5, Jared.
I mean, I think New England's going to rout the Titans. I think the best part about the game on Monday night was that you got the win, because this game is now, as I've said today, this is a bonus game. Like, you're not supposed to win this game. They have Brady. They have Belichick. They take advantage of your mistakes. The Titans make too many mistakes. The Titans don't have enough good players on offense. I think this is going to be a rout. It'll be close for about a quarter. I think the Patriots are going to win this game big. In fact, I think New England probably walks out of here 38-18 kind of game. So I'm going to take the Patriots.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than that. I think the Titans will play better than we anticipate they are. I think the Patriots are on the road in a game that, you know, is going to be important to them. But I'm not sure, you know, they're going to have the same attitude as if they were playing a division game. So, you know, I think it's going to be a 7-point game. And that's why, you know, I think I picked the Patriots, just because it's 7 points, and it's going to be closer than we think, though. I don't think it'll be anything like 38-18. I think it'll be more along the lines of maybe 27-17, 27-20, something like that.
So you're telling me how close it's going to be, and then you take the Patriots to win by a touchdown?
Yeah, well, the spread 6.5, and for them, 7 points is not bad.
That's going to do it for us. Special thanks again to Coach Bill Belichick for coming on the show. And special thanks to our great team here, whoever it was that got Belichick on the show. I'm not so sure who that was. But a big special thanks to them, too. We are back 9:30 on Sunday, live from Nashville Underground for the pregame show, and then we will have the full breakdown Monday at 2. Tackling Music City next.